Lord, thank you for your giving today. We want to spend a few moments in the Word of God, and we're going to be served Holy Communion this morning. It's appropriate to serve communion not only on Good Friday, but on the Resurrection Sunday. Amen. It is an absolute honor to be able to take communion on Resurrection Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not even going to read the scriptures. How many know the basic fundamentals of what happened today? Wave at me if you know what happened today. Amen. How many know that he's not in that tomb? And what a surprise it was to everybody. It's a bittersweet thing, the crucifixion and the resurrection. They are interlinked. If there's no crucifixion, then there can never be a resurrection. If there's no resurrection, what he did on the cross is in vain. The Bible said, if Christ be not raised, then we're yet in our sins. Our preaching is all in vain because Jesus' blood was not holy enough to sprinkle the mercy seat, and there is no sacrifice for our sin. You take away the cross, you can't have the resurrection. The Bible said he was raised for our justification. Amen? Salvation is not complete without the resurrection. Jesus isn't who he said he was without the resurrection. Your sins are not forgiven just because the blood was shed unless it was vindicated and validated through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So these two events have to make up Easter. So we have to talk, really, if we're going to do justice to this season, we have to talk about the cross and the empty tomb, not just the empty tomb. So I just made a few statements I want to share with you today. Easter resurrection is not just about an empty tomb in Jerusalem. It is tied directly to the cross. Without the cross, there could be no resurrection. Without the resurrection, the cross would be made of none effect. The two are joined to bring complete redemption to fallen man. The resurrection is God's amen to the cross. It validates our faith and it vindicates the death of Jesus. The bitterness of crucifixion was transformed into beauty at the cross. Isn't it amazing? When we think of the cross, we don't think of the horror of it. We think of the beauty of the cross. Yeah. There's a little town in Alabama. How many's ever been to Alabama? Amen. I knew there were some exotic travelers in here. Praise God. Amen. There's a little town in Alabama where the major livelihood used to be raising cotton. One year, when everyone thought they were going to have a bumper crop, a little insect showed up called the boll weevil. It invaded and devastated the crop and destroyed the economy of this little town. Everybody was broke, no harvest, no income. But there were some farmers who were determined not just to sit back and move into the poorhouse. One man got an idea that he could plant peanuts instead because boll weevils don't like peanuts. Another farmer decided to plant peanuts, and another followed suit, and before long, bumper crops of peanuts began to repair the economy of this depressed, broken town. The town later became known as Enterprise, Alabama. You know why they did what they did? They erected a monument to the boll weevil. Isn't that incredible? There's a monument in Enterprise, Alabama, erected to a memorial to the boll weevil. Because they look at the boll weevil today as not a curse, but a blessing. Because they made more money growing peanuts than they did cotton. And if the boll weevil hadn't destroyed the cotton, they would have never become enterprising enough, amen, to seek a new crop. Everything would have just went on like it was. Amen. So they said, we're going to remember the boll weevil and salute it. Praise God. Amen. In the same way, the Roman cross was despised as an object of shame and horror and pain in the day of our Lord. But today, it's become the logo of the Christian faith and the object of our greatest joy. Can you say amen? When we see the cross, we see the beauty of his love, the power of his love, amen, the wonderful joy of knowing that he loved us that much. The blind songwriter, Fanny Crosby, who wrote literally hundreds of hymns unto the Lord, one of the lyrics of one of her songs says, "Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again." This is Easter Sunday, where we tell of the cross, where there's the bitterness, amen, where sorrow was expressed in the greatest degree. But we also tell of the resurrection, amen, that transformed that cross into something of beauty, something wonderful, something so powerful. Someone said, "We live in a sad hour in which many, both within and without the church, see no need for old-fashioned, Bible-centered, blood-bought salvation." Here's some quotes that they say. Listen to this. "Man doesn't need the blood in order to be saved." One New Age Christian, as we would call them. "Man doesn't need the blood in order to be saved." We live in a time when many mainline denominations have moved to proclaiming a social gospel instead of a gospel proclaiming salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Some have even gone so far as to remove songs dealing with the blood from their songbooks and from their modernistic liberal hymnals. Listen to this quote from a female theologian named Dolores Williams. This is her quote, so I'm going to call her name. I hope she calls my name and quotes what I'm saying this morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That'll get me back. "I don't think we need a theory of atonement at all," she says. "I don't think we need folks hanging on crosses and blood dripping and weird stuff." Now that's a modern day theologian that has graduated from seminary. Excuse me. Sometimes my pronunciation gets messed up. Well, I'm afraid it doesn't much matter what Miss Williams and others of her variety think. If you want to get really messed up, look at the History Channel trying to tell you, something about God. They don't believe in the supernatural. They don't believe in the resurrection. Amen. They got a bunch of theologians that graduated with high degrees that don't know God from Adam's house cat. What matters is what God has said, and more importantly, what God has done. You see, just a body emptied of blood becomes a corpse. So faith devoid of the cleansing blood of Jesus is dead. The blood is the bedrock of our faith and practice. The church, the Bible, the gospel, and our faith, apart from the blood, are all dead. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. And I can report to you this morning that the blood that sprinkled that mercy seat in heaven is still on that mercy seat in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Others may flee from the truth of a bloody salvation, but I'll cling to the cross and to the blood. Religion may decry it and call it out of date, repulsive and barbaric, but I'll stick with the blood of Jesus. Robert Lowry got it right when he penned the old song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Can you say amen? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. What a mighty God, matchless God that we serve. Listen to what the scripture said in Colossians 2, 13 through 15. "And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it," literally in the cross. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The cross is the final and permanent end to Satan's ability to accuse us. Say that with me. The cross is the permanent and final end to Satan's ability to accuse us. You know what Revelation chapter 12 said? Revelation chapter 12 said, "Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them before God." He never lets up. Say, he never lets up. Accuse. Listen, he don't just accuse you before God. He accuses you to you. He wants you, when you have a failure, when you see a fault, not to go to God and run to him. He wants you to give up and go back. He's the accuser of the brethren. And it didn't just start it in the new covenant. In the book of Job, that ancient book of Job, angels were ascending and descending to get their instructions from God. And an angel showed up that wasn't supposed to be there, that had been banned. And God saw Satan ascending, this fallen angel. And he said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I want to talk to you just a minute before you throw me back out. I want to talk to you about your creation that you love so much." He said, "That bunch down there that you love," here's the accusation. He said, "If you didn't bless them with stuff, they wouldn't serve you at all. Only good you are to them is what you can do for them materially. They don't appreciate anything else about you. And they won't serve you for nothing in the physical, material, immediate sense." And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job? This accuser and the whole circumstance of Job." Oh, by the way, God said something about Job that modern day preachers contradict. And when they contradict God, I've decided a long time ago to let God be true and every man become the liar. How about you? It's about time we quit following personalities and follow the person who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I've heard people say that it was Job's fear. If he just, see, he needed their tape set on faith. Amen. That's what Job needed. No, they need a lesson from Job. God called Job a perfect man. They said he needed to be straightened out. Can you say amen? Not perfect in the sense of being sinless, but Job was perfect in his heart, in his attitude toward God. Amen. And it was his perfectness, not his sinfulness or his lack of faith, that caused the problems to come. God said, "I'm going to prove to you. I got a man down there. He's going to squall and holler and complain." Anybody here ever do that? Amen. "But push come to shove, he'll never quit me. Push come to shove, he will serve me." And the devil said, "He won't." He said, "Listen, you got a hedge around him. I can't touch anything he's got." Amen. "You pull that hedge down. And let me at him. And he'll turn on you. He'll curse you to your face." And God said, "Okay, it's a deal. I want to prove a point." There are people. God's got a people that love him for who he is and for what he's done. Not just for the immediate things we need from him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When I don't understand what's happening in my life, I know my Redeemer lives.
Yes.
And I know, amen, that whatever's happening is not the end of my story. Can you say amen? My story don't end until I stand with him on that day. Can you say amen? And the end of my story is just the beginning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know the story of Job. Point I want to make. And Job wanted push come to shove. And push come to shove when everything was gone. And his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And Job said, "I know my Redeemer lives."
Yeah.
The very thing we're talking about this morning took him through the darkest trial of his life. Hallelujah. Amen. "I know my Redeemer lives."
Yeah.
And at the last day, he's going to stand upon the earth. And in other words, this is not the end of my story. Amen. Don't you write the end when I drop dead. Amen. He said, "Though the skin worms eat my flesh, yet my Redeemer's going to stand in the last day. And when he does, I'm going to stand there with him. And not another's going to see him, but I'm going to see him. And I'm going to see him in this flesh that I'm in right now." One of the most ancient books of the Bible, God, to take a man through his trial, gave him, amen, a revelation of the resurrection to come. Wow! The revelation of that resurrection didn't start just in the New Covenant or the New Testament. But Satan is the accuser of the brethren. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 12, "Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down," that accused them before God day and night, "and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." Can you say amen? No, they couldn't overcome him by being sinlessly perfect, because no one has ever achieved that. If that could be achieved, there was no reason for Christ to go to the cross. Can you say amen? If we say we have no sin, 1 John said, we lie. Plain and simple. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from unrighteousness and iniquity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I know my Redeemer lives. How about you? They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame Him by the word of their testimony. Amen. The Bible said, let the redeemed say so. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. My wife gave a testimony today. We're saved people. We're redeemed people. We get knocked down, but we get back up. And that's what Christian victory is. And when we snap at each other, we don't bite.
No, we don't.
Amen. She hasn't bit me yet with words, and I haven't bit her with words. But tension, how many's ever felt tension in your home? And the tension gets great. How many still living in a mortal body? Wave at me. Almost everyone, just a few folks in here that have moved on into immortality. Amen. And the word of their testimony. And there's another element, and it's devotion. It's devotion. It's devotion. God wants you to love Him back for loving you. He wants you to reciprocate the love that He's given you. We love Him because He first loved us. Devotion. 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 And they loved not their life even unto the death. Why? Because they loved Him so very much. Our brothers and sisters, for you that got here late, they arrested Christians in China for publicly celebrating the resurrection. Amen. They have been arrested and detained, and their fate, as the newscaster said today, is not known. Amen. But we know wherever they are, He is. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, we have the freedom to worship here. And there's people that take this freedom for granted, and they don't have the heart to worship, to come together to worship Him. Amen. I'm glad you're here today. It shows you have a heart to worship Him. Can you say amen? Amen. But in China, they don't have the freedom to worship, but they have the heart to worship. Here, we have the freedom, but a lot of people have lost the heart because that first love is not there like it used to be. And God wants to rekindle the flame of that first love because of the cross and the resurrection today. Amen. Hallelujah. The cross is the final and permanent end to Satan's ability to accuse us. Erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands, He set it aside, nailing it to His cross. You know what they used to do? One of the things they did when they acquitted people in the ancient time was give them a white stone. And Revelation talks about that. Black stone meant that you were condemned. And the white stone meant that you were acquitted. And Jesus said, I will give you a white stone. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But another thing they did, they took, if they acquitted you of all the charges against you. And by the way, the charges against us, these two pages would not hold them. Amen. I'd like a little harder, amen. You're not that good. Come on. Praise God. And I'm not either. Come on, the list has got to be longer than this. Sins of omission, sins of commission. And you know what happens when they acquitted in that ancient time? Amen. When the judge said you were acquitted, they take all the charges against you that are written down. They take it and they nailed it to a tree. When they nailed it to the tree, it meant that you were acquitted of every charge right there. Amen. And that's why the Bible said all these things that Satan could actually use against us, that God would acknowledge that we did through what Jesus did at the cross. It's been nailed to the cross. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, to that cross, you have been acquitted. And the enemy can't accuse you anymore. And if the enemy can't accuse you, the Bible said, what more shall we say to these things? If God be for us now, it doesn't matter who's pointing their old bony finger at us anymore. Oh, by the way, the enemy will have people accusing you. Amen. What happened to Job when things begin to go wrong? All his dear friends, instead of supporting him, what did they do? They accused him. Job, you must have sinned. Eliphaz said, man, you must have did something wrong. No, he wasn't. All this wasn't befalling him because he did something wrong, but because he did something so right that God used him as an example. Amen. Thankfully, I'm not perfect.
Amen.
God will probably never choose me to go through that.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, he doesn't have to. He proved the point with Job. And he tells us to go back and look at that. Remember his patience and remember his end, because God didn't let the end of his story come at the resurrection at the last trump. God kept his story going. And when he restored him, oh, by the way, when he prayed for his flaky friends, God turned the captivity of Job. Can you somebody give God glory today? I said, when he prayed for his flaky friends, amen. While he was praying for them, God turned the captivity of Job. Amen. They accused him of everything but being good. Amen. Don't ever try to figure all this out. Pray for people going through things. If it's a sin issue, pray God will reveal it to them. But don't assume that it is. One day you're going to need mercy. One day you're going to need grace. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Amen. We don't know the ins and outs and the whys and the wherefores, but we know God knows what he's doing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Job's friends had so cut him and hurt him. Amen. But once he began to get his heart clear with God and say, I'm going to serve him no matter what, he fell on his face and prayed for them. And while he was praying for them and getting that unforgiveness out of his heart, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. God turned the captivity of Job. He began a restoration in his life. He began to give him twice the cattle and twice the crops. And he lived to see his children's children's children. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Remember the patience of Job, the perseverance of Job, and remember his end. Look how he ended up. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, God has a victory for you. I don't know how it's going to come. I don't know when it's going to come. But I'm telling you, if you will persevere, hallelujah, and just take your stand on the fact that your Redeemer lives no matter what, God's going to pull you through and God's going to give you a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said he disarmed the rulers and authorities. When Satan wants to dig up our sins and fling them at us, we can say to him, I'm afraid you'll have to go to the cross to find them. They've been nailed there by God. Can you say amen? Crucified criminals had their crimes nailed above their cross so people could know why they died. On Christ's cross is a board with all the sins you and I have ever done nailed to it. They were nailed to Christ's cross. He took the punishment for them. He bore all the charges in one massive hit. And then he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. It was as if Jesus stood in court and literally millions of charges against him, against his name, and pleaded guilty to all the sins you and I had ever committed out of love for us so we could go free. Then the judge, God, said, you will serve all these death sentences concurrently in 1 6-hour time frame on the cross. They had to be served concurrently. You cannot keep executing someone. Since the penalty for the crimes had been paid, Satan had no further basis to accuse us. They overcame him as the accuser by what? By one single element, the blood of the Lamb. I plead the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What can wash away my sin? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath its flood. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their... There's power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With penalty paid in full written on them, Satan was out of ammunition. Paul describes this as disarming the principalities and powers and triumphing over them in the cross. It was a victory like no victory that the world has ever known. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The accuser of our brethren was cast down at the cross. Now, Resurrection Sunday is here, and now we've moved from the cross to the resurrection. It's where joy and sorrow combined together. The sorrow of seeing him die like that on the cross, but the joy of seeing him raised from the dead has transformed that old rugged cross into a thing of beauty to every true child of God today. Amen. The two are joined to bring complete redemption. the resurrection is God's amen to the cross. Amen? It's a historical fact. Let me tell you what happened. Many years ago in England, there were two men, one named Littleton and the other named West. They got together and one of them said, if we could disprove two things. Number one, the conversion of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. If we could debunk that. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we could destroy Christianity. So Littleton set out to disprove the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And West set out during that same year to disprove the resurrection. A year later, they met, and Littleton said to West, after a year of investigation, I am convinced that the Bible story of the conversion of the Apostle Paul is true, and I have been converted to Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? You go to the Bible, you're going to find that it's real. It's alive, praise God. Then West said to Littleton, I've been investigating the resurrection of Jesus for a year, and I too have discovered that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact, and it may surprise you to know that I've received him as my personal Savior. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, this is not just for people that are raised in a Christian, Protestant, Catholic or whatever. This is people that say, I don't even believe this stuff. That when they begin to examine, amen, this is a real event in time. This is a historical event. And it's a personal event in the life of everyone that receives him. From the very first resurrection morning until now, our faith has moved forward based on the fact that Jesus died and rose from the dead. And that he's alive today. And he's changing lives today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love that great hymn that says Jesus tore the bars away. He arose the victor from the dark domain. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor o'er the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. He arose. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Destroy the resurrection of Christ, you render the Bible ineffective. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, the Bible teaches us that the Bible is not the verbally inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Amen. The Bible said, if Jesus be not raised, the apostle said, we're found to be liars. Our gospel is in vain. Your faith is in vain, and we are yet in our sins. In the New Testament, the resurrection is mentioned in the New Testament 104 times in 260 chapters. No one can read the last chapters of the gospel, the book of Acts and the letters of the apostles, Peter, Paul, and John, without a profound conviction that the resurrection of Jesus was a confirmed fact and that it was God's confirmation of what Jesus did at the cross. Destroy the resurrection of Christ, you discredit his own testimony. Before his death, Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. Amen. One time he said in John 10, he said, I lay my life down that I might take it again. No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The resurrection means everything he said. Listen, if he could pull that off, amen, everything he said, everything he taught, everything he promised is going to happen just like he said it, including his soon coming. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Destroy the resurrection and we destroy the very deity of Jesus. Romans 1 and 4 says that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. It wasn't just the fact that people were being healed. Death is the great enemy. Death is the great giant. Death is the enemy. No one, no prophet that raised the dead escaped death. But Jesus, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It sets Christianity apart. 72 years old, Muhammad, I believe, that's when he passed. Buddha at 80-something, amen. Buddha's ashes in the Ganges River, amen. Muhammad's body laying in state. They go to the Ganges to worship because the ashes of a dead religious leader's in that river. They go to Mecca in a pilgrimage because at Mecca, Muhammad is supposed to be laying in state. But where do, and they showed them on television this very day, where do Christian pilgrims go? They go to Jerusalem. Do they go to honor the body of Jesus? No, they go to the empty tomb to celebrate the fact that he's alive and he's risen from the dead. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but that pretty much settles it for me. Amen. Amen. Since I'm going to die one day and I expect to be resurrected and live forever, I'm going to serve the God that conquered death. Can you say amen? Yes. How about you? It's a no-brainer. Destroy the resurrection of Christ, you destroy the witness of the gospel. The preaching of the resurrection was the dominant theme of the apostles' preaching. In Acts 4:33, we read, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ." It wasn't just a dead theological, head trip. The Bible said that they preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Can you say amen? The Bible said this gospel didn't come in word only. This is not just about your intellect. This is about your spirit, your soul. Can you say amen? But it came in the Holy Ghost. It came in power. And because it came that way, it came with much assurance. Can you say amen? I don't believe because my preacher believes. I don't believe because my daddy believes. I believe because I met Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a personal thing. He's alive and you can know him. He's alive and he can come into your heart. He's alive and he can change you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Destroy the resurrection of Christ, and you find the Christian faith is in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:14-17 said, "If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins." Hallelujah. So what has been said is true. The resurrection is the cornerstone of Christian truth. And it is important and vital to the destiny of the human soul. Amen. We have to believe that, well, the gospel is really summed up and Jesus died. We have to believe that he died. He didn't just swoon on the cross. One preacher was preaching that Jesus just passed out. And so he wasn't really raised from the dead. They just thought he was dead. And J. Vernon McGee, who's with the Lord now, if you've ever heard that, "How firm a foundation," ye say, he believed in the resurrection. And someone wrote him that letter and said, "Our pastor said he just swooned on the cross. Probably got his education through the History Channel." Can you say amen? And he just swooned on the cross. And J. Vernon wrote a letter back, and he read the letter that he wrote back. He said, "Take your preacher out. Beat him until his rib cage shows through his skin. Put a crown of thorns on his head. Beat him with the open fist. Tear his back up until it's a mass of nothing but blood and hanging shreds of flesh. Then take him out back and nail him to a cross and let him hang there for 6 hours in the hot sun. And then take a spear and put it under his rib cage and puncture his heart by a Roman soldier who knew how to kill. And watch the blood and the sack of water that had formed around that heart that made it difficult to even breathe on that cross. Watch the blood and water pour out the hole that you pierced. And take him down and put him in a tomb for 3 days. And then go in there and see how he's feeling." Amen. It gets crazy when people try to debunk something as real and true as this that we're celebrating today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is totally unexpected by the women who came to anoint his corpse. They didn't come out there to celebrate like we're doing. They came out to anoint his body. We're wondering who's going to roll the stone away. When they got there, the stone was rolled away. The soldiers had run off. Amen. Hallelujah. And an angel was sitting on the stone. Praise God. Isn't that just like God? Amen. Angel just sitting up there on the stone. He said, "I know who you're seeking. You're seeking Jesus. You're coming out here to anoint his body. I know what you're doing here. You know, he said, I'm going to rise, that nobody paid him any attention. Nobody had ever conquered death. Can you say, man? I mean, Jesus raised the dead, but we're talking about him raising himself from the dead. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. Said, I know who you're seeking, Jesus of Nazareth. He's not here. He's risen as he said. Somebody said, God said it.
God said it.
I believe it.
That settles it.
Wrong answer. Wrong answer. That's the I said it too, and it's the wrong answer for me. No, God said it. That settles it. And I believe it. For thy word is forever settled in heaven. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Whether you believe it or not, it's settled. It's settled, brother. If the world don't believe it, ain't going to change it. For it's forever settled. Heaven will pass away. Earth will pass away. But my word will abide forever. And forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody give me a trampoline and open this ceiling up. Oh! This is Resurrection Sunday. This is when death died, hallelujah, and Satan was conquered, and the accuser is cast down. I know who you're looking for, Jesus. He's not here. He's risen as he said. Why seek ye the living among the dead? This is a cemetery. I wonder why some people go to certain churches. And then they come away and they're just as carnal as the world is. Well, why seek ye the living among the dead? Wow. People just yawn. I like what Bob... We're going to close with this. There's a lot more, but we're going to close and have communion. No service tonight because... You're going to have to digest this one. Amen. Bob Diffenbaugh, in a lesson on the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he told an interesting story. Listen to what he said. It was related to him. He's a minister by a friend. Seems his friend's uncle was driving his convertible in the mountains one day with the top down. Beautiful day, he said. He had his radio turned up quite loud, and he's enjoying the scenery. You ever got behind somebody that was sightseeing? Amen. And you know, they're oblivious to the fact that you got somewhere to be. They're just, you know, and they're driving along. And so anyway, he was enjoying the scenery, had the radio up, the winding mountain road. So you see, you can't pass on a mountain road. He was so intent on the music and scenery, in fact, that he failed to notice a driver had come up behind him and was growing more and more impatient with his reduced speed. Finally, when there was room to pass, the furious driver went around the man with a blast of his horn and a shake of his fist, along with some not so well chosen words. Rather than go all the way around, though, the raging motorist forced the driver of the convertible to the side of the road, got out of his car, and screamed he was going to beat him to a bloody pulp. The man's uncle apologized profusely, but it seemed to have no effect on the hostile motor. That's called road rage. The man said to him as he approached him, "Your apology is not enough," he raged. As the angry man closed the gap between them, the uncle reached under his seat and pulled out a .45 caliber revolver. Aimed it at his attacker's chest. Without a moment's hesitation, the aggressor blurted out, "I accept your apology." You know, it wouldn't do for me to get robbed because they'd ask me what kind of gun it was, and I'd tell them I have no idea, but it had a barrel this big around. This big. The moral to this story, at that point, he returned to his car and drove away. The moral to this story, Diffenbaugh summarized, is that the introduction of one unexpected element can completely change one's perspective on a situation. Did you know what was the unexpected element after the crucifixion? The disciples wasn't expecting him to raise. The ladies, the two Marys, they didn't expect him to raise from the dead. Pilate and his bunch didn't expect it. The Sanhedrin didn't expect it. Nobody expected him to be raised. No one came looking for the resurrection. And yet he said it was going to happen. But no one could conceive that even God in flesh could do that after they saw him die like he died. But this unexpected element was added to what happened at the cross and changed what looked like the biggest defeat that could ever happen. And you know what? The prophecy was fulfilled at the resurrection, Sean. It began to be fulfilled at the cross. It began in Genesis. It began in Genesis. After man sinned, God said, listen, there's an antidote. There's an ultimate antidote for this curse that has come through sin. Amen. This serpent, there's a seed of the woman going to come. Can you say amen? A woman is going to bear a child. Amen. Christmas to the devil was a horrifying event. Can you say amen? Because it began an ancient prophecy that he feared greatly. Amen. Because God, who he knew, tells the truth. And God, who has the power to bring it to pass. God said, amen, it's going to look like you're winning for a little while. Amen. There's a seed of a woman coming. And you are going to bruise his heel. But he is going to bruise your head. Can you say amen? His wound is not unto death, but yours, old hoss, is. Can you say amen? Somebody give God glory for victory today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Give me my trampoline soon and take out this ceiling. Hallelujah! Glory to God. The devil bruised Jesus' heel on the cross. Jesus bruised the serpent's head on resurrection morning. The resurrection changed everything. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty victory over his foes. The resurrection transformed cowardly disciples into mighty saints of God and martyrs. They were willing to lay down their life for him because they knew death can never conquer us. Amen. You can slay this body, but you can't touch me that lives in it. Hallelujah. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. The resurrection, amen, defeated the dominion of death over Adam's fallen race, and life conquered death. Everybody say life conquered death. Hallelujah. So I'm going to close with this. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 58 says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Death won't even stop you. Can you say amen? Oh, somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's proclaim it together today. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. In China, they have a heart to worship God, but they don't have the freedom. In America, we have the freedom, but many people just don't have the heart. Everything keeps us out of church. Everything keeps us out of his service. We don't have the heart, and we need the heart back for God. Jesus said, or the scripture teaches, it might well be him that said it. Holy men wrote when they were moved on by the Holy Spirit, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because this God deserves the honor we give him here. He deserves the honor. He deserves your time. Amen. He deserves the use of your precious gasoline. Amen. I guarantee you, amen, Some people are going to let church suffer. They're not going to let their earthly activities suffer. It's going to be God's house that suffers. But someday you're going to need God desperately. And I don't know about you, but I want Him to be first in my life. Hey, man, if I got a choice between the mall and church, I'm going to church. Because if I have a... I've had severe physical problems in the past, and only God could deliver me from cancer of the blood. When God healed me of leukemia, amen, I was in a church that was running 7 days a week. Some of your grandparents and parents were in that church. Amen. They were there when I got healed, praise God, as a child, 8 going on 9. I would have been pushing daisies before my 10th birthday had it not been for this event called the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that resurrection power could flow, life could flow in this dying little boy. Praise God. And here I am, 64 years old, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God raised me up, and I'm so proud of Him today. But that's a lesser miracle. That's physical. Amen. But the great miracle was when He saved my soul, sealed me with the Holy Spirit, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, so I could declare with Paul, amen, death has been swallowed up in victory, and it happened on resurrection morning. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. Will someone come and service the elements of Holy Communion? This is both, amen, the and I gave that to you. All right, this is the bittersweet story of Easter, the love that held Him to the cross and the power that raised Him from the dead, the suffering of the cross and the sacrifice, amen, and the love that He demonstrated for you and me. Turn that bleeding body, those terrible wounds, and that old bloody cross into something beautiful in our eyes. Bring it right up.
Quiet stillness between the light and shadow.
Yes, Lord.
Where the hurting and the hopeless seek everlasting peace. Words of men and songs of angels whisper comfort bittersweet. And there is rain and rolling
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Can you say amen? This is where joy and sorrow meet. The same night he was betrayed, instead of being angry, vindictive, and vengeful, he took bread and he broke it. Would you just snap that wafer? He said a profound thing that they didn't get till after the resurrection and the cross. He said, "This is my body, broken for you. As often as you do this, remember me." And it's to remember him in a particular, peculiar way. Remember him suffering and dying, his body broken for you and me. You may eat the bread. He picked up the third cup. There was four in that service. And one Sunday we will do the four cups of communion. Scholars believe that in order to say what he said, it was the third cup. It was that stage of the Passover meal that he picked up the cup of redemption. And he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink this cup, you show, literally proclaim, the Lord's death till he come." You know what we're proclaiming today? We're saved. But we're saved because of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? That's why we're saved. Hallelujah. You may drink the cup. Hallelujah. Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night. It's time to rise up. If there's a sin problem, go to God with it, get it dealt with at the foot of the cross, and run with patience the race that is set before you. Don't let the devil discourage you and hold you back. Can you say amen? If you need Christ as your Savior, come running to the mercy seat. Salvation is available to you today, and these altars stand open. You can interrupt the preaching at any time to come and kneel at one of these altars if God calls you. Don't let the devil push you back. Remember Lot's wife. She was delivered from the city of destruction, but she looked back. Amen. And listen, amen, you've been delivered. You've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Yes. Plead that blood for your weaknesses, your inabilities. Ask God for strength, and he'll grant it through grace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, so you can get you a trampoline. Can you say amen? Just for church, praise God. We'll have to get a vaulted ceiling when we build our new building. Praise God. God is so good. Amen. He is so wonderful and so powerful. We're going to have a song to go home on. Amen. My great-grandmother always fixed some kind of... We never had fancy stuff. We never had anything fancy. But something sweet, if it wasn't nothing but applesauce and apple butter to put on the biscuit. She said, "Listen, you're not done eating yet. You need something sweet to quit off on." Can you say amen? And I never argued about that. That's spinach? Oh no, but let Popeye eat the spinach, but let me eat the sweet to quit off on. Can you say amen? We're going to have something sweet to quit off on. Assembly of God Church, worshiping the Lord in this song. Let's worship with them as we get ready to go. If you have to go, we understand it's Easter. A lot of things are happening. You may go, but we're just going to worship before we leave for about 3 minutes if you would like to. Let's stand to our feet. Are you glad you came to celebrate resurrection? Resurrection Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Let's give him praise today. Let's give him praise together. Glory to God.
I can see Jesus.
Yes.
High and exalted.
You see him risen? Seated at the right hand of power. Hallelujah. Crowned with many crowns. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
I can see Jesus, robed in glory.
And sing the chorus, it's simple.
And lifted up in strength.
Hallelujah.